Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, April 15th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. The numbers to call to participate are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and of course, if you're calling from the Family Islands, there is 242-300-720. And if you want to decide to join us via text, the number is, that is powered by BTC, of course, is 422-4796. So that's all of the numbers to participate. Today, I wanted to read one of two commentaries that I didn't get to read yesterday about why the Bahamas should never have a lottery. And one of them said, never have a lottery, not on a religious basis, because I know people have their religious persuasions. I'm not even going to entertain those people. That's for the Christian people, right? They understand. Sin is sin. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who are adamant that Bahamians can't manage a lottery. It will feed corruption because Bahamians can't manage anything with large sums of money. And that has to be done by the private sector. I found that strange, but I said, let me put it in the record there. So we can appreciate those commentary regarding that. So let me see if I can get one or two. I say, this text scheme says, nonsense. Look at what you are seeking to do. Put a cash-rich entity in the hands of central government. You will have corruption and inefficient practices. A private company is better for such undertakings. We complain about government wastage now. You want to give them an entity that creates a rat and cheese scenario when you see in DR they have the issues I'm raising now. And how will the money be guaranteed for where it's purposed? That requires legislative framework. If they went with a national in 2017 and took a stake, they would have been smart. However, they make about $50 million in tax revenue, but that goes to the consolidated fund. That was that texter. I wanted to read that in reference to why we shouldn't have a lottery. And I can transition because that's not what I want to talk about today, right? This text says the Bahamas, with a population of 400,000 people, makes more than triple that, over $50 million U.S. dollars in direct government tax revenue from our current gaming industry alone. So what would be the actual objective? What would be the objective for the Bahamas in starting a national lottery? Is the goal to encourage more gambling or simply to compete with the web shops for market share? We certainly shouldn't be promoting this, I can't say that word on air, idea that a lottery somehow improves a player's chances of winning. That's another reason why we shouldn't have a national lottery. Those stood out. I was shocked that Bahamians would say that. Oh, I had one more, no. One start quoting numbers. Did I quote that? Let me see if I screenshot it. I did not. I thought I did. No, that's not it. What about this one? No, that's not it. Well, I guess I can get read. If I come back across it, I shall read it in the records for people who are completely against gaming, saying that we just in the Bahamas, we are incompetent. We can't do it in general, and that the government cannot hire or have a quasi-government agency that can properly run gaming. I'm wanting to know if the gaming board is running efficiently, because they have behemoths there. I'm now concerned whether we should disband that altogether and have some kind of foreign entity come and manage that, because what they're hinting towards, it's concerning on how we view ourselves in general. But I wanted to put that forward. But what is happening tomorrow? Let me see if I can get that right up right now. Tomorrow is nomination day. And I want to know, what does that mean for you in terms of nomination day, right? That's basically when you pay your $400, right? And you officially nominate yourself at all of the standard bearers for the various political parties will be putting things forward, their name forward, and paying their monies. I expect in pageantry, I expect large crowds to show up in support of their particular candidate, right? We know the PLP has huge crowds, so I expect to see some junkanoo. I expect to see at least 200-400 people strong as they walk towards the various stations to nominate themselves. I expect to see some theatrics. I expect to see them from the FNM, right? I think the COI may be smaller now because they have to stretch their resources for every candidate. So it should be interesting to see how the COI fits into the big pageantry of the FNM and the PLP. And is that pageantry important to you? I remember when I was more political years ago, when I say years ago, at least 20 years ago, when I supported a particular party, independent party, and we were smaller at that time than the two larger parties, and we had to maneuver through the sea of people. That was a challenge for independent alternative parties. So I wonder how the COI will how this will impact the COI in regards to that. I also want to mention that we have several independent candidates who will be vying or being officially nominated come tomorrow. Let me see if I can get to call their names. I did a screenshot of that. There would be Leroy Major, right? Former PLP. He's going to go in Southern Shores. I think he plans to be a spoiler, make it frustrating for a particular candidate. Leroy Major, I think that he could at least pull maybe up to 100 votes, maybe more. That will cause an impact in Southern Shores. I think that's something to consider. Renwin Wells was rumored to run. I don't think that he's going to be running in Bamboo Town. I put my hand on the chopping block for that, or head on the chopping block for that. I don't think Mr. Wells will be running, but he would have been. He made indication that he would have been running in Bamboo Town. If he did, it would make some implications for the chairman of the FNM party, Dr. Sands. But now it looks like it's going to be a three-way race there. So it's going to be closer in terms of who will win Bamboo Town, and those who support either one of them will come out and vote. Kate Williamson. I think I met Kate Williamson once. She's going to be running as independent for my Cal. I also, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, listening audience, that Kate Williamson, it was a PLP supporter who did not get the nomination. It's very popular in the my Cal constituency. So I think that that also will have an impact on the two leading candidates there. And this is important, why you need to investigate who these independent candidates are and how popular are they in their constituency. Kate Williamson will be running as an independent candidate, and she has some support down there. And you know, the numbers are different, and especially in Acklands and Crooked Island, the numbers are different because it's smaller. But if she can pull 50 to 100 votes, that can impact the entire area, right? Who will eventually win the seat down there. So it should be interesting. Then there's Andrew Blue Johnson, the Freetown candidate, independent candidate. This is one of the races that a number of people watching. The incumbent there is Wayne Monroe. I think Wayne Monroe is embattled. It should be interesting to see the impact. And who, when I say who, what base will Andrew Blue Johnson draw from? Will it be, will he be drawing from the FNM? Or will he be drawing from the PLP, Andrew Blue Johnson, and his back? I think Blue is good for about 200 votes, right? I think he's good for good 200-300 votes. So we'll see how it impacts. And is there any independent candidate who could win? You could call and say, boy, this particular independent candidate has a good chance of winning. And you could tell me the reason why you think that, right? Another independent candidate would be Ali McIntosh. And I always appreciate the $400 Ms. McIntosh tends to give to the government and to the Bahamian people. And Ms. McIntosh can be running against the juggernaut there, Glenys Hannah Martin, right? Ms. McIntosh is an advocate, an activist. She speaks out on women's rights, children's rights, and in general, Bahamian rights. So she's represented the Bahamas before. She's included, various administrations have included her because of her passion and dedication to Bahamian politics and women in politics. They have included her in a number of programs internationally. So even though she's a part of the alternative party or independent runner, and I'm watching that, it doesn't seem like she's going to be running under her political party, but she's running as an independent. I want to know what type of impact would she have in Eggleston, right? Against, like I said, Hannah Martin is popular, right? I mean, she might be the longest standing MP, consecutive MP right now in the governmental system. So that'd be interesting. Then there is Frederick McAlpine, and that's Pine Ridge, right? Mr. McAlpine made a significant impact during the last election, right? They consider him the third force in that particular constituency of Pine Ridge. I'm not sure if he is still as popular as he was during the last general election, right? You know that he was a representative MP for Pine Ridge under the FNM administration. Then he ran as an independent and got a significant number of votes in that area that made an impact. And some people say that caused the FNM party to lose the seat, right? Forcing the PLP to secure that nomination. So it should be interesting to know the impact Frederick McAlpine would have in Pine Ridge, right? Then there's Hubert Minnis. Now, Hubert Minnis has been having a lot of traction, right? In fact, he's advertising his nomination day and asking supporters to come and walk with him. It should be interesting to see his numbers come nomination day as he walked to Killarney, in contrast to the PLP, in contrast to the FNM, in contrast to even the COI, because the COI has a strong presence. And again, I continue to herald the good doctor in Killarney, right? The Williams family. Why her name? A name escapes me, and I know her name so well. But the COI candidate, and how come I forget her? And she's a cousin. But yes, she has been campaigning like crazy, like there. She's making some significant inroads there. So it should be interesting to see how a Hubert Minnis presence, MacGyver, I remember her name now, and forgive me for that, Dr. MacGyver. Hubert Minnis presence with a Dr. MacGyver presence in Killarney, and how will it impact the two major political parties there? That should be interesting. Then there is Ryan Forbes of North Abaco. Okay, I'm not familiar who's Ryan Forbes. I know also Garden Hills has an independent candidate. It is not listed here, but I know the good gentleman, is it Collie? Is the good gentleman continues to advocate advocate for Garden Hills. He's active. He's loud. He's progressive in terms of trying to push the agenda of independent thinking people. And I just want to give him acknowledgement, even though his name is not mentioned inside this listing right here. And all of that to say is the independent candidates will be present for this election. I want to know what significant impact will these independent people, candidates, be doing. I see the phone line is blinking. Let me allow this person to engage me and have and contribute to this topic. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
I just want to get what's your general topic today?
The general topic, I'm not sure how you missed it, is about the impact of independent candidates. We can talk about the nomination process that is happening tomorrow, right? What should we expect? I want to talk about disclosure and what to anticipate in terms of the disclosure. I'll go in detail about this afterwards, about that. Basically, the impact of third-party forces, independent candidates. Again, the narrative of how close this general election is going to be.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, let me. I'm going to ask a question. Is the COI serious? I mean, are they taking this election as a serious situation? And the reason why I'm saying that is, it's like, do they understand that the majority of people that are going to hear their message and the people that need to hear their message is not going to be online? And I say that because the leader seems as though that he believes that he's going to win an election by apparently exposing himself completely to an online audience. Because I've not heard one iota yet of a rally, of anything that gives one conclusion that they're serious about an election.
But let's talk about that. Let me just
make one more point. One more point, and then I'm gonna shut up and let you talk. And then the other thing that kind of concerns me is the fact that you're saying that you want to be taken seriously, but in the same token, because I have a few friends who, one of the friends who said that they're going to go see COI. So I asked them, I said, okay, listen, do you believe you guys are going to win? And they wholeheartedly believe they're going to win. And I'm saying to myself, I said, okay, how is that going to happen? And as you go deeper and you start talking with them, they start to understand that, okay, we may not win, but we'll be a spoiler. And I agree with them on that. But when you really break it down to them and they say, okay, listen, do you really, really, truly believe that you guys are going to win the government? And I find that a lot of them are very delusional. Because at this point, if you haven't even called a rally, and I think they're kind of afraid to call a rally because they're afraid for people to actually see publicly the support that they don't really have. And I think that is, they realize that they're going to be a spoiler, but not necessarily win the government. And no matter how much rhetoric they feed to their people or to the Bahamian public, and I'd like to see them call a public rally. And I think I dare them to do so.
Okay, I appreciate you. Let me comment or respond to that. And thank you very much, caller. The COI is a different type of party. I personally don't believe that they should have a rally. Me. Reason why, they're an alternative party. An alternative party cannot wage war with two juggernauts. No matter what you say, they don't have the money. One candidate in one of the major parties can pay for the entire operation campaigning, and some people say he is paying for the entire campaign, right? One candidate can do that. And when you put that type of money into the campaign, nothing that the COI can do can compete against that. So they need to find a different form of campaigning, and it can't be no rally. So you challenge or belittle social media campaigning. If you follow the WhatsApp, them WhatsAppers go far, right? We know the power of social media and WhatsApp, and the third parties find that that is working for them, and they get their message out. We now can identify who is a Lincoln being via social media, right? Via WhatsApp. This concern about immigration is a social media war that somebody, them maybe, is waging, and the government is responding to the social media war. So it's working. We see that the opposition responded to the social media commentary of the COI. So to critique them and to lambaste them, saying that you wanted them to conform to traditional type of campaign, is unfair. They're using whatever mechanism and whatever monies that they do have. Whether they be a spoiler, they might be. Whether that is success for them, that's up to them. But I have a cousin who lives Carmichael Road who is frustrated with her political party. She is determined not to vote at all. And then when you start speaking to her friends, all of them are determined not to vote at all. And then the COI show up. They will participate in the electoral process. And I said, why now? And they said, well, the COI gave them hope or give them the option of participating. And if the COI could do that to make sure my cousin vote, even though I think she voted Nord, right? I even support how she voting. I say kudos to the COI for allowing my good cousin, who voted every year since she was 18, I mean, not every year, every election since she was 18 to now, to give her the hope that there is hope in the system that she will participate. And if that's the success of the COI, I say kudos to them. And I won't lambaste them. I would say at least you get my cousins, again, plural, because a couple of them now, who are frustrated, to be able to go out and participate. So I congratulate the COI, and I shan't lambaste them during this time, right? Maybe after election, I'll start making fun of them again. But at this present time, they're allowing one or two Bahamians to participate, right? So that is something we want to do. We have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. I'm going to go to the text, and then I want something. There was a comparison, a contrast. Somebody went on ChatGPT and copy and paste all of the COI's platform. I assume it's have to be COI because the FNM and PLP won't even include them. All the COI platform, the FNM platform, and the PLP platform, and ask ChatGPT to do a compare and contrast, and ask ChatGPT who has the stronger platform. And I encourage everyone to go and do that, I guess. Copy and paste each one's platform and see what comes up. So we get to have that conversation also. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. You're live on Guardian Radio AM.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're live.
Yeah, I just like to give a response to the last caller.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was once out. So just like you say, non-voter that decided to vote for the COI. The problem is, I don't know how they think that we are spoilers, because, like, my vote now, not voting, well, I was not going to vote for the FNM. So I don't want them to think that we are taking away from them or vote is for the PRP. Because I would not vote. I don't want none of the parties. None. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it's a hope that the next party comes along. So I would just not vote, but I would now vote for the COI.
And I appreciate you participating. And that's why I'm at that point now where I say too close to the general election for me to try and convince you to vote for either one of the major parties.
But no, I would just not vote.
No, I want you to vote.
The country is in a downward spiral with mm-hmm. both parties. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
I want you to vote. I want you to dress up whatever color you want to dress up, right? And go there and blew up your thumb. And say you participated in the election process, electoral process. So I appreciate you. And all those people who you come across who say they ain't voting, tell them go vote your party.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. This text says, good morning. How come there are gambling houses only in the poor areas and not in the rich areas? You will never find a gambling house in a high-class rich area, only in the poor ghetto areas. Why is that? I know there are a number of houses that are now making a turn to the west. You go on that Cable Beach strip right next to all the hotel workers. There's always going to be a gambling house where the workers are. So as soon as more bohemians start working out west, and have a large number, you bet your journey, there'll be a number host there to facilitate and help them. The number houses empower behemoths. When they desperate and don't have any money, right, you go do your 10 cents. Because they have spending for 10 cents. That means you poor bad if you're gambling for 10 cents. You can gamble with 10 cents and win, I don't know how much, but you can win some dollars, right? Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live.
Yeah, good morning, CA.
Good morning.
I trust that you're in good spirits so we can have a proper dialogue.
I'm never in good spirits. So, but let's risk it all the same.
Cut me unceremoniously.
If you start talking foolishness, guess what happened?
No, I don't talk foolishness. We may disagree, but we ain't going to talk foolishness.
Just making sure.
But anyhow, it seems as if that these people who are defending the present gaming situation is talking foolishness and speaking in tongues. The Prime Minister sound almost close like he needed an interpreter when he was asked the question. I don't know why, but it was a straightforward question. Slush fund, all this other. It makes no sense. You know, the thing, I heard the boss on this morning, and he agreed with the FNM's position in terms of how the money should be spent, you know. He said there's a great idea, but so far it was never done. Bear in mind now, CA, we sit for a national lottery. Perry Christie said it was an opinion poll. And right now, in the gaming industry, I own a 7-Eleven. I can't even sell lotto tickets or even gaming numbers because they keep it knit all to themselves. So that is an empowering bohemian. You have to open it up. What's wrong with me selling? I'm selling the gaming ticket. You follow?
Yeah, listen to you. Go ahead.
You know, but they keep it tight-netted. And they are not really open to expanding the industry. But I'm sure if a national lottery is in place, I mean, like other countries, you can go anywhere and purchase tickets. But they have exclusive rights. They open up their own stores. They sell their own thing. This is a bohemian. It should be a bohemian thing. And the way this arrangement was set up, CA, this arrangement with private persons controlling the gaming industry, that has never been practiced nowhere else on the planet. Nowhere else on the planet have this arrangement with the Bahamas are, where you give it to a small grouping of people, and then you tax the regular citizens to death because the government is strapped cash. That makes no sense what Perry Christie did. No sense with, and I'm not speaking out of no jealousy. I'm speaking not on the best interest of the country. Right now, CA, the hospital needs all sorts of dialysis machines. A national lottery could address these issues.
We could also go to the private sector and demand that a number of houses supply them. They might say no, but I mean, you could ask them.
No, but then you shouldn't have to even do that if the money was directed properly. But Perry Christie didn't have a plan. He did not have a plan when he did this, when he implemented this thing that has never been practiced nowhere else on the planet. You go all over the U.S., you go into Canada, the state controls these things, not no individuals. And Perry should understand that. But he allowed it to happen, and now FNM, according to what Mr. Pintar is saying, he will allow the monies to be controlled by a gaming industry. And then this argument now that they're putting out now is that the FNM would have to bring in persons to manage it. Just say that is the case, even though I don't believe it, because bohemians can do almost anything.
We're doing it
and
now.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
If they have to bring in persons, so what? It's the question. Now back to the nomination on tomorrow. I'm not gonna give the COI nothing until I see them ratify 41 candidates. I don't believe they're gonna nominate 41 candidates.
I know they're short too. So I'm not sure. If
I don't know they're going to do it. And right now, I'm hearing people talking about the COI. It's going to come right down to the PLP and FNM again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too close now to the UN nonsense about you raising votes when you know that the party will not become the government. Hmm. What's the purpose of that exercise? To satisfy Lincoln being personal agenda? It's personal agenda when they don't have a clear, concise understanding of governance and how it works and how it functions. You're going to now play Monopoly by going ahead with this group, this grouping, this small grouping, who can't even nominate 41 candidates.
I hear you.
So it's just unbelievable. But we'll see what happens. But the policies in respect to the naming situation, I think the FNM is spot on this one. And I thought the rally last night was relatively good. All of the speakers were clear. They were concise. They were on point. And I felt like they are getting momentum.
Okay. Thank you very much. Clearly, Clever didn't listen to the person who spoke for Garden Hills, because that didn't make so sense talking with the bullies, but that's just me, right? Says, this text says, I go with Trivago lying on this one. When your political opponent starts giving you advice to help you, watch out. Don't have no rally, COI. Okay, no problem. CA, 10 cents straight on a 3-ball is $70, and 4-ball is $500. I won win $200,000. $300,000, $500,000, $1 million. These small numbers, $700 can't help me. That's lunch. That's lunch, right? I need something beyond lunch. I need enough to pay the mortgage for a month. So these small numbers ain't working. I want to win some money to change my life a bit. Make someone do that. I said the ChatGPT lady. Let me see if I can find her name. She's a private citizen. She has 5,700 followers. She has her own channel. Let's see. Barbara Henderson is her name. And she did a report, and the report, which she did in ChatGPT, said the overall conclusion when compared the three manifestos is technically and structurally, the FNM manifesto is stronger. However, the PLP manifesto is more polished, visually and politically persuasive. In simple terms, the PLP manifesto better marketing and narrative. The FNM manifesto better policy, detail, and structural substance. And I have no clue what she typed into the prompt she gave to ChatGPT. Because if you prompt, whatever you prompt, the ChatGPT is going to respond. So she could have been politically biased on it. So I need you to do the same thing. Prompt it and let's see what type of information comes up. Because I don't know the lady. I just was interesting that someone decided to do a comparison, and I thought that was prudent. The answers, I cannot say it's scientifically based, but it is what it is. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Yes. How are you doing, Nui Shalyn Johnson?
Hey, man.
Yeah. Her name is Barbara Wilson.
Wilson. Oh, okay.
Okay. I do commentary, but I don't want to direct it there. But I'll send you my exacting prompting. I always been prepared for intellectual debate. Gotcha. But I just want to talk about this lottery type environment. For those who may not know, you'll see even now that Powerball and even the Mega Million is considering expanding globally. I've spoken of the fact that when we came into the marketplace with our lottery system, I was one of those people that argued for the expansion of it. I argued against to say no, not for the concept, because the actual questions was defective, deliberately, in a way, to achieve a goal, because the government of the Bahamas knew that what we had was pressure coming from international people concerning money laundering and other things as part of the gaming business. And so we were looking for means to, clean up or that particular view. Because if we wanted to really have a lottery at that particular time, we could have set the regular rules, and you qualify or you do not qualify for it going forward as opposed to doing. We're still having the same problems right now with the corresponding bank in actually having those individuals in that marketplace enter into the correspondent bank. You can see the casinos and other people will give license to, right now, if you take them out of that particular thing, move the protection, they would be able to, if you properly fix the laws, would be able to go to banking just the way the casinos and other places do. In fact, a proper lottery or proper gaming law, bank, the gaming institution, are quasi-banks in respect to what they are, if we understand what they've done. So we have been running this thing for a decade based on special interests as it stands. But when you talk about the Bahamas gaming operations, and I hear the church, and we had the same argument. In fact, where Mr. Sabash appeared on the on Bright Show today, it's a number of things when it came to gaming. And when it came to gaming, he spoke on gaming, housing, entrepreneurial innovation, whatever. And I hope somebody clipped this and forwarded this to him, but I think he was intellectually opaque. And let me repeat that. Sebastian, you were intellectually opaque in your conversation in regards to it, and that's not the type of leadership you need to move to. And I'd be happy to defend it. The same way when Dwight talked about him being, and he spoke about being on The Guardian Show, I was one of those individuals that engaged him on The Guardian Show downtown in Parliament Square. So the point is that we have a unique opportunity here. Gaming, unless, and I hear the church. We have lotteries, in the Bahamas now, and we have gaming. So, in fact, the church is involved in these activities. And so we must stop being intellectually dishonest and everything else. I'm not going to have the argument concerning gaming and lottery in the biblical point, but because from a pastoral point, I have a position on that too. But I'm going to talk about it as a country. Okay. A country or governments must govern. Mm-hmm. And the convincing, and so the claim to have that clarity came from the this opinion poll is absolutely garbage.
No problem. And I appreciate you.
So the point is that we have an opportunity, and this, because gaming, lottery and gaming has changed from $100 billion to $500 billion in the last 10 years. And it now opens the opportunity for behemoths to get involved. And so even though Sebastian talked about the intellectual capital to run gaming, he himself and the gaming operators in here don't run their own thing. This is white label software. So we could have a debate about what behemoths are capable of doing and what we would white label and dress it up, whatever it is. And so and I could tell you, I have family members that actually work in the gaming industry in the United States that actually control the Powerball and the Mega Balls, etc. So and so that becomes the non abuse, and guess what they are? They're behemoths.
Okay.
But that's not the question on the table. It becomes a distraction about owning an economic model that should have been owned by the public from a decade ago. This is now a multi-trillion-dollar opportunity. And individuals, for $15,000 investment, could do exactly what Sabas and all the others are doing right now.
And I appreciate it for that. And we need to have more discussion with that. This text says, to the caller about not voting for a party that he feels can't win the election, we need you to stop looking at parties and vote for the best candidate in the area. If it's best candidate area, it's an individual. It's not a party at all. Then would Providence decide which party will win? This text says, the number man today spoke condescending to the Bahamian people, like he should have been told himself to push out. Oh, I remember that phrase, push out. That's when you win at that big block party. Now, be honest, CA. Don't you get tired of hearing from C. Allen and Clever sometimes? They have an answer to everything, every problem we face in our country. That's the text saying that. Let's see. Morning, Nuri. All this hullabaloo about manifesto and blueprint for change is a distraction. None of them have followed their wild promises anyways. So let's stop talking about that. We need total new direction. CA, and why Sebastian Key is the only Bahamian with a brain for lottery and gaming in the Bahamas. Man, his response to the opposition leader proposal was perplexing and so off. So many Bahamians qualified to do his job and PM today. And stay tuned for the 12th of May job change to help them and Stay tuned for the 12th of May job to help them and the PM retire. There's a guy from South Africa, who is a gaming specialist. He came down here to give consultation some years ago. He's applying for citizenship now. I'm not sure where he works. But I know when he came to the Bahamas, he's big Russian. He's Russian. This is them Slovak type names. And he's applying for citizenship, but I know his job profession. He runs numbers. He's a specialist in gaming. I'm not sure where he works in the Bahamas, but I know he's here, and now he's applying for citizenship. You know, I'd be watching things. I'd just be watching things. So we could, same way how someone imported him to come and work, the government can import somebody to come and work and give them citizenship later on after 10 years too. I'm just saying. So you can't say we can't import people. We have people who could come here too. Let's go to the callers. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Patch that person through their Kermit. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Hi, you fine, thanks. Listen, I agree with most of the things that Cleaver had to say. I don't think we need to bring in no international person or let no affluent persons collect no lorry money. Just how they collected the WAC money, put machines and all those businesses, and whatever goes to register, send to the Treasury. But also, I'm happy that Sabas believes that the lottery and also the web shop can coexist.
Well, he does believe that?
You know, that's comforting coming from him.
But our Prime Minister doesn't believe it, though.
Listen, the party said something that's comforting. The party said, he went back from that how Quincy Munnings was the treasurer, and he was the treasurer of the PLP, and he was running the legal number business. Right? And he said, interesting enough, Sabah said there are 1,200 persons who are actually shareholders of the number business. So Sparky said, obviously these politicians, many of them are shareholders of the number business.
Hold on. Let's pause. Did he say that or are you summarizing that? Because I didn't listen to the program.
Sorry?
No? He did not say that. See, you, I didn't think about this. That's why I had to pause you. They say he did not say that.
Yeah, cutting their portion. So they didn't want
no
lottery.
So let me go and listen to the show, because I can't have you say it, especially when people saying he didn't say that. I don't know. I just want to say, where you get all these politicians involved in gambling? The building thing. Okay, we can talk. I appreciate you, Colin. I can investigate. I got to listen to Dwight's show now. I should have listened to it this morning, though. CA, both PLP and FNM are copycatting COI ideas. And yes, to that caller, yes, COI has rallies, but they are being discreet because we know how spiteful they are. Victimizing is real. Victimization is real. Also, I'll never forget a video of a war between good and evil. And in the war, evil would throw a blow, then good would throw a blow. And in the end, good weapon of choice was hope. That is something you cannot kill or destroy. Many of us, we are looking for change in years ago, and now we have found it in the COI to the world. Again, to that caller about COI, COI has ratified 42 candidates. Don't listen to trolls. Also, social media is more powerful than he thinks, and even the present PM knows that. That's why he bought out all the social... He didn't bought out all, because I still hear waiting to be bought out. So you can't say all. Because I hear waiting. PM knows that why he borrowed all the social media outlets. Knowledge is power. They woke the sleeping giant, and our warriors are on the ground. We are not trying to track wolves. And CA, don't fall for that AI-generated crowd at the PLP FNM rallies. We are wide awake. We can see through the smoke and mirrors and politics. Remember, the PM is very enthusiastic about social media and AI. He know the old tricks, they just advanced. Let's go to the callers again. Guardian Radio AM. Well, we're going to take a break. Let's take a break. I see you callers. When we come back, we come directly to you all and continue the show. Guardian Radio AM, we'll be right back.
Have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
We came to celebrate IT.
Celebrate IT.
transfers for a chance to win indeed.
Celebrate, I
life is good, so we say la vie. No lie, parfait, Monty got some.
Celebrate IT
with GK Money Services.
Send three
with GK Money and Western Union
for a chance to win.
To send free
for the rest of the year.
Three lucky customers will win.
Follow us at GKMSBAH
for more details.
Promotion ends May 18th.
Western Union.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming, hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce, we're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLP.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let me quickly run through this. This says this is a comparison of the three platforms. This is Choose Progress. It's a progressive little party. What their manifesto promises under the PLP is saying says, one, no VAT on grocery food. Two, lower electricity bills. Three, move toward livable wage. Four, build affordable homes. Five, new hospitals, clinics, and airport upgrades. Six, upskill Bahamas job training. Seven, reduce food import by 25%. Eight, hire more police officers. Nine, CCTV expansion in court digitization. 10, biometric border controls. 11, improve worker benefits. 12, support your Bahamian farmers. 13, expand telemedicine across family islands. And 14, create residential tenancy authority. Okay, the FNM, we work for you. With the manifesto says 0% VAT on essential medicine and school supplies. Two, build 5,000 new homes. Three, Operation Shield to secure borders. Four, $200 per month child support and newborns. Five, national lottery. Six, $100 weekly training stipend. Seven, recruit more frontline police. Eight, 10-point national crime plan. 11, implement Freedom of Information Act. 12, hire 100 doctors and 200 nurses. 13, upgrade hospitals and clinics. 14, change direction fast. COI, Vision 2030, the New Bahamas. The vision includes, one, an acre of crown land for every Bahamian. Two, strong action to end illegal immigration. Three, universal free health care. Four, turn islands into major farming centers. Five, expand fisheries and industry. Six, reform banking and credit access. Seven, shift to renewable energy. Eight, introduce island state city governance. Nine, build major export industry. 10, empower Bahamians ownership. 11, train apprenticeship programs. In general, build a nation of owners. Let's go quickly to the last set of callers, giving everyone 30 seconds so they can be included. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Caller, you're live. 30 seconds. Let's move on.
Nassau, good day. No, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You have 30 seconds, Andrew. Great. Sorry about that.
Flowers was the first one to engage the public and advise the government at the time, and he continues to do so, that it is quite possible and rational and where both industries can survive and thrive, being gaming and a national lottery. And he advised the government to move forward with it, right? And then I heard Excellency join that conversation a while after. Secondly, I think it would be wise of the media, right, to find out from each engaging party seeking nomination or renomination or whatever the case may be in this general election, if they would be inclined, not inclined, if they will maintain the status quo or if they are prepared to expand the amount of licensees that operate in the gaming space. I think that is critical to put on the table at this time. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
And I appreciate the commentary. I wish you called it earlier because that was good. Let's go to the next caller there. Guiding Radio AM, do you have 30 seconds? You're live, caller. I'm talking to you. Turn on the radio.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. This is a vast issue. I think he'd be better suited as a private investor in the country where he can maybe create jobs for the Bahamian people on the outside. But being in government, he'll not be effective at all. Government has a program, and they will not encourage his political program. He'll be more effective on the outside, helping persons, and also renting to new businesses, not from the government. That's not a good idea. I think government should get out of renting, so on and so forth. So he will not be suited for the political arena. Thank you.
Okay, I hear you there, Colin. Let me see if I can read in the meantime. So it's good morning, Nuri. They should make a rule that no one wear political colors or paraphernalia during voting. It will probably ease tension online. You expect to see all kind of yellow and blue and black and red come nomination day. Nuri, can you ask your people who live on the family island if they ever heard of COI, because the people in Rumkey have never heard of them. So if you don't hear about them, don't vote for them. That's all I can say. The COI money midget is small. They working on a small budget. And that may be so. I remember when they used to say that about the PLP against the UBP, yet the PLP won eventually. CA and the COI only need to get rid of Lincoln Bean, and they straight along a lot of sharp minds in their arsenal. CA, you know all of them PLP in that. Okay. CA Sabath claimed that he made his first million at 19. Do we know if he did that? I'm not going to be lambasted, Mr. Bastian. Stop that. Good morning, Sabath. Never said that. The call just said about politicians. They asked him about the government renting from him. His reply was that they are renting from a company that he is a part of with about 1,200 other Bahamians, some who are also on the opposite political side. I heard that was what it said. Lincoln being told his sicko fans. Okay, I agree with that. Anyway, it's 12 o'clock. Guiding Radio AM with CA Nuri. Thank you very much for listening. I see you again tomorrow.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.